Sure, thank you. All right, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. All right, good to have our visitors with us. They've been here before, Harley and Ellen. Okay, thank you for being here with us. All right, anybody else? First time in a long time? No? Sister Mary? Okay, all right, and her grandmother, okay. Amen, all right. Okay, so if you have your Bibles, let's turn to... I'm in the wrong book. All right. Let's go to Romans. Romans chapter 15. I don't have my clock with me, so don't know how far I'll go, but all right. So Romans chapter 15 and verse number 16. Okay, Romans 15, verse 16. All right. The Bible says here that I should be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. All right, let's go ahead and let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this time. We're able to be here together. Thank you for each one who's here tonight. We pray, Father, again, you'll be with our pastor and Miss Sandy as they're away. Just give them traveling mercies as they come back, and they'll be able to enjoy their time there in D.C. And Father, for Brother Jose and the rest who are coming from Long Beach, just pray that you bless that outreach, that many tracts were passed out, New Testament Bibles, and also, Lord, opportunities to witness there. So, Father, as we get together and gather around your word, may you again just, may the Lord Jesus Christ be lifted up. May you give me the boldness and power to preach thy word according to your will. And just, Father, we pray if there's one here that has not by faith trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, we pray that tonight will be the night of their salvation. Father, for those of us who are Christians, who are a child of God, yes. Father, I pray you challenge us with your word, that, Father, we would be filled with the Holy Spirit, and, Father, do things not apart from him, but according to his will. Yes. And, Father, we ask all these things in Jesus' name, amen. All right. And so in the 1800s, a group of women met to study the Bible in Dublin. This is in Ireland. And so they were puzzled by the words of Malachi 3:3, which says, "And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness." And so one of the ladies promised to call on the silversmith and report to them what he said on the subject. And so she went and begged to know the process of refining silver, which the silversmith fully described to her, how it works. And we don't have time to go into detail of that, but you can look that up when you get a chance. But then she said, "But sir," she asked, "do you sit while the work of refining is going on?" And he replied, "Oh yes, ma'am, we sure do. I must sit with my eyes steadily fixed on the furnace, for if the time necessary for refining be exceeded in the slightest degree, the silver is sure to be injured or damaged." And so as the silversmith told her that, at once she saw the beauty and the comfort of the expression mentioned, as we saw in Malachi 3, and 3a, which says, "He," or the Lord, "shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver." Yeah. And so in the same way, Christ sees it needful to put his children into the furnace. We go through those trials, through those temptations and tribulations. But while we're going through that, he's seated by the side of it, and he knows and he's there with us. A little bit of what Brother Larry mentioned this morning. His eye is steadily intent on the work of purifying, and his wisdom and love are both engaged in the best manner for his children. Thank you, Jesus. And so thank the Lord for that. You see, as God's children, our trials don't come at random and are there to refine or purify us to become more like Christ, into his characteristics, to being more like him. So how does he accomplish this? It is through the work of the Holy Spirit living in you, if you have already trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. See, when he said that, he told his disciples that when I go, I will send the Comforter. I will send the Holy Spirit, and he'll be the one to, I'm getting ahead of myself, but guide you into all truth, just to cut it off. And so the Holy Spirit not only gives us the power to witness, pastors preached from that in Acts 1:8, to serve him, I think pastors also preach on that, in Ephesians 4:11 to 12, to pray and to understand God's word and to hope as we long for heaven and as soon return. Amen. Romans 15:13, and also we see here he also sanctifies us in Romans 15 and verse 16. So the question is, what does the word sanctification mean? So going back, the title of the message here is our dependence on the Holy Spirit's work of sanctification and our duty. Amen. Again, our dependence on the Holy Spirit's work of sanctification and our duty. So sanctification is the act of making holy. It's the act of God's grace by which the affections of men are purified or alienated from sin and the world and exalted to a supreme love to God, resulting in selflessly loving others. Amen. There's probably some other definitions as well. You've seen sanctification is setting ourselves apart from sin and onto God. Yes. And so the process of sanctification can be compared to an iceberg, which is almost 90% underwater. If you've seen those icebergs, you only see 10% of it. Yes. So as the sun shines on the iceberg, the exposed part melts, the 10%, moving the lower parts that are underneath upward. And so in the same way, we are usually aware of only a small part of our sinfulness and need, which is all we can deal with all at one time, really. Amen. If the Lord just brought everything to us, we'd probably just explode, okay? But he does it a little at a time. And so here, again, this is talking about just there's a little bit that we can deal with. That's just the iceberg, the part that you can see. But however, as the light of God's word, and here with the iceberg, the sun in our lives changes us in the areas we know about, we become aware of new areas needing to the work of God. Amen. The part of the iceberg that you can't see that's under the water. Yeah. So as you, in a sense, tackle and you have victory over one set of sins over your life, then the Lord reveals and the iceberg moves up. Oh, wow, there's something else that we need to take care of here. Okay? But if you don't take care of that, and then the Lord says, okay, the iceberg's not going to move. I got to shine some more light on there so that we can take care of that. And so here again it says in verse 16 of Romans 15 that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And so here, when it says sanctified again, here is to purify internally by the renewing of the soul, all right? Mm-hmm. To drench with the Holy Spirit, the divine source of holiness. And so just to summarize here in that verse, the first part, so we see that Paul ministered to the Gentiles by giving them the gospel. Okay? Yeah. By preaching the word of God. And after he preached the word of God, he would start to disciple them in the faith so that they can grow. Yeah. And so as Paul's work was to preach, it was the Holy Spirit's work to sanctify. The problem is sometimes we preach and then we do the Holy Spirit's work and try to sanctify the person. All right. But we can't do that. Amen. We got to let the Holy Spirit get out of the way and let the Holy Spirit convict the person. For example, I'll give you an example. I remember I came out of Catholic faith. I was used to carry some of these things that I thought would help me. And then I asked the person, I said, well, what about this? They didn't say anything. Well, they said, well, did you read the word and pray about it? And as I prayed about it and thought about it some more, I said, wow, you know what? I don't think I need this anymore. They didn't say, oh, you heathen, why are you carrying that? You know, they didn't say that. They just let the Holy Spirit work. Amen. And so I praise the Lord for that. And sometimes, if I'm not careful, sometimes I take the place of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When the Holy Spirit's supposed to do his work, I just have to do my job. Amen. We just got to remember that the Holy Spirit always does his job. Sometimes we overstep, or sometimes we don't take enough steps. All right. So we just have to be in tune and with the Holy Spirit as he convicts the person of what they need to do and changes they need to make in their lives. And so here, we see here that, again, it's our responsibility to obey the command to be holy as well. In 1 Peter 1, verses 15 and 16, it says this, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation." In verse 16 it says, "Because it is written, be holy for I am holy." This is the Lord speaking. I am pure, I am upright. So the question is, we've got to ask ourselves, is how does the Holy Spirit accomplish this sanctification in our lives? First, I see here, he sanctifies us in our lives through truth. Through truth. So when we become a child of God, when we trust Christ as Savior and enter into the family of God, we usually undergo some radical and thorough life changes, especially if we have had an immoral background. Through the first steps of spiritual growth and self-denial, we get rid of these larger, obvious sins. It's like, oh, we know, oh, okay, by far, I know that's wrong. But sad to say, I'm telling you this, I'm speaking to myself, okay? Sad to say, many of us believers stop right there. We don't go on to eliminate the little sins that clutter the landscape of our own lives.
Amen.
And so again, maybe the Lord is revealing that to you, revealing that to me, those little sins that we need to get rid of. Quote, saying this, "I would rather be guilty of a lustful look than of adultery. Yet Jesus said that with that lustful look, I have actually committed adultery in my heart."
That's what he said.
Now, I know with actually doing the act, there's more consequences, and we have no control over that. But at least if we have a lustful look, we can confess it and say, okay, Lord, I got to deal with that myself.
Amen.
Also, I would rather be angry at someone than to murder that person.
Yeah.
Yet Jesus said, whoever is angry with his brother and whoever murders are both liable to judgment.
Oh.
Okay, it's Matthew, just paraphrasing Matthew 5, 21 to 22. And so some of the little sins we tolerate that were called by Jerry Bridges as respectable sins, he says, are ungodliness, uncontrolled anxiety and frustration, discontent. How many of us are discontent a lot of times? When that light is just still red and it's like no one is around at 3 a.m. Okay, never mind. All right. Unthankfulness, pride, gossip, selfishness, lack. Here's another. Lack of self-control. You just fly off the handle. Sinful anger and weeds of anger. How about this? Bitterness, impatience, irritability, lust, we mentioned that earlier, judgmentalism, envy, jealousy. Here's one that we have a hard time controlling. Sins of the tongue, worldliness, and some related sins as well, or even our lack of qualities that Paul calls the fruit of the Spirit. He says there in Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, or temperance, which is self-control.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's easier to condemn those more obvious sins, those flagrant sins, such as homosexuality, murders, or notorious crimes, while we ignore our own acceptable sins.
Hey.
And so, don't get me wrong, I know there's a consequence when someone murders somebody, at least there should be, seems like it's not more than before, but, you know, but again, we cannot ignore our own acceptable sins. We have to bring them before God and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I've done this, would you help me through this? And so Gordon MacDonald, he told of an experience in his own life that illustrates this truth. He says, some years ago, when Gail, this is his wife, and they bought an old abandoned New Hampshire farm that they called the Peace Lot Ledge. He found the site where they wished to build their country home was strewn with, there's big rocks and big boulders. So they knew that it was going to take a lot of work, hard work to clear it all out. So the first phase of the clearing process was easy. They just hire some, big heavy equipment. And so the big boulders would go first and went pretty fast. And when they were gone, later they began to see that there was a lot more smaller rocks that had to go too. So when they cleared these things, these boulders and rocks, they noticed that these stones and these pebbles that they have not seen before. And so that was much more harder to clean these small stones and rock pebbles, and it was more tedious work as well. But they stuck to it, and there came a day that when the soil was ready for planting grass. So kind of the same way, these big boulders, these big sins that we see, we can ask God, and God will help us to remove it. But sometimes we overlook, and as I mentioned earlier, we stop there and forget about those small sins that continue to creep up in our lives when we need to get rid of those as well. And so no wonder why a lot of times we don't grow spiritually. We stop is because we don't get rid of those. And so how does the Holy Spirit use truth to address the power of sin in our own lives? Where do we find the truth? Of course, we find it in God's Word, in the Bible. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Amen. Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is quick. It's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart."
Amen.
So when you think that the Lord is not speaking to someone else through his word, he is. You just have to just get out of the way sometimes. And sometimes it won't happen that first time. They got to hear it again and again and again. Just like when you try to witness to somebody, don't force it, but you just give the word out and just let it go. Someone else, you may plant, someone else will water, but ultimately God gets the increase. So that's what we're looking for. And so here, also as well, again, it's the word of God that convicts and proves our own guilt of sin because it is the truth. And specifically in John 16:8, it says, "And when he is come, he will reprove, convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." This here, I almost got ahead of myself. This is talking about the Holy Spirit. When Jesus would go to be the Father, he's going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to convict the world of these things. And so the Holy Spirit convicts people of sin, of their sin, your sin and mine, of righteousness, of God's righteousness, of where we, when we're placed in Christ, we have God's righteousness upon us, but it doesn't mean that we are to live like we are holier than everyone else. No. Okay? And of judgment, judgment that is to come. So also in 2 Timothy 3:16, it talks about the Scriptures. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is there for correction, for reproof, for instruction. I'm kind of paraphrasing what it said. I missed one thing. But there it talks about the Scriptures to reprove and to correct us and get us back on the right path, down the Lord's way. So we live under the controlling influence of the Holy Spirit, at least we should, as we continually expose our minds to and seek to obey the Spirit's moral will for us as revealed in the Scripture. See, we should live in dependence on Him through prayer as we continually cry out to Him for His power to enable us to obey His will. We are both responsible and dependent. We are responsible before God to obey His word, to put to death the so-called acceptable sins and the obviously not acceptable ones. And at the same time, we do not have the ability within ourselves to carry out this responsibility. We are, in fact, totally dependent upon the enabling power of the Holy Spirit as well. Again, we work hand in hand with Him. So when we do this, we will, over time, see the Spirit working in us and through us. And then eventually, the Lord Jesus Christ will be lifted up and the Father will be glorified. And so we will never reach perfection in this world, okay? but we will see progress. We will see an increase in Christ-likeness and a change of character and attitudes. And I should add that even to the better, not the worse, okay? As we change to be more like Christ. And so Psalm 119, 9 and 11 says this, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word," the word of God. Verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee," or against God, against the Lord Jesus Christ. So we got to ask ourselves, how is our daily intake of God's word? Do you and I regularly take it as you regularly take in physical food? Sometimes we're guilty of that. It's like earlier, oh man, too much food. Okay, all right, get back there. All right, so, you know, Jesus even said when he was tempted by the devil, he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And he's referencing Deuteronomy, I think it's 8:5 or somewhere around there. And so we see that Jesus, whenever the devil went after him, he just quoted the word of God. And that the devil even misquoted the word of God. He said, no, this is not what it means. This is what, you know, you should not tempt the Lord thy God. Okay? So we got to make sure we know the word of God and be taking, having a daily intake of his word. And so we do not only live by the physical bread, but by the spiritual bread, God's word. And that's why there's a devotional book. Some of you have heard of it, Daily Bread. There's a Baptist bread. We even have our devotional we have that we gave out to the adults as well. And so I'd like to thank Brother Will for, you know, every day he's putting out on the prayer chain about the Word of God. Amen. Sometimes in the morning and even at night. Yes. I praise the Lord because I'm able to sometimes even forward it to someone else. Uh-huh. Even one guy said, you know what, I needed that because I knew how their mouth was. And I said, oh, I'm going to send it to him. Oh, I needed that, brother. Thank you. So, yeah, so did I. So, the same thing, even with Pastor, when he does his preachings on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings and Sunday nights, thank you for that as well. To Brother Larry for teaching Sunday school, those Sunday school teachers who are teaching, Brother Jose, pray for him. He'll be preaching this Wednesday as well for bringing forth the Word of God. For Abeka, for bringing forth the Bible DVDs in our school. Thank you for that. I know I've heard some reviews about how those teachers are a little bit animated there. And so we got to ask ourselves, it's good about that, but we also need to feed ourselves individually in our own quiet times with the Lord. And so do we have our own regular Bible reading plan, scripture memory plan? It's the only way for growth and sanctification as the Holy Spirit works through our consciences, as they are enlightened and sensitized by exposure to his word, to the word of God. Amen. And again, spiritual growth doesn't come from here all the way here. Just like when you go through school, you don't go from, pre-K to 12th grade right away. No, it's little by little. Here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little and there a little. As we continue to read the Word of God and we get grounded, we memorize, we meditate, and most importantly, we apply the Word of God to our lives. And so, again, John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them by thy truth." So if we don't, we will become gray-headed babies, baby Christians. Okay? I've heard a preacher say it, a bunch of gray-headed baby Christians. Baby, I was like, oh man, ouch, is that me? So when I read and meditate on God's word, he brings to my memory a specific act of a subtle sin in my life, and he empowers me to deal with that sin. Again, sometimes he might deal with you with this thing. I don't know, it's anger. Maybe it's with gossip. Maybe it's pride. Whatever it may be. And the thing is the Lord is trying to deal with us because he wants us to take that next step in spiritual growth. Amen. Because you never know, you might be able to use what you've conquered, that sin, and minister to someone else who is going through the same thing. Yes. And we have a lot of people who are hurting. We have a lot of people who haven't been in church for a while or maybe some coworker or somebody who needs to be encouraged, who is discouraged. Someone who needs the word of God at the right time. And God can use you, can use me as that vessel to be able to just share that little bit, share our testimony with them, and then just let the Lord work. Because you never know, sometimes they'll come back with questions. And that's the one that is really interested, is when they come back, oh, what about this, what about that? And so we always have to be ready, as it says in 1 Peter 3:15, paraphrasing, that we need to be ready for an answer that is in us with meekness and with fear.
Oh, yes.
And so we got to be ready with that. And if we're not, we got to just, okay, Lord, I'm sorry, I messed up there. Give me help, give me wisdom to be able to, when the next opportunity arises, to answer the person in a way that's glorifying to you.
Amen.
And so here, a Chinese proverb says it this way, I hear and I forget, I see and I remember, I do and I understand. But someone else added this, when we do, we also change. Mm-hmm. We do, we change for the better. John Newton put it this way, I am not what I might be, I am not what I ought to be, I am not what I wish to be, I am not what I hope to be, but I thank God I am not what I once was.
Amen.
I'm no longer in that pit of, in that cesspool of sin and floating in there, but God is changing me day by day.
Amen.
And so can we say, as the great Apostle Paul said, by the grace of God I am what I am. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He gives us strength.
Yes.
And so regardless of how little progress we make, we should never give up. He is at work in us. He's trying to mold us and conform us into the image of his Son. And so not only does the Holy Spirit sanctify us through truth, but he also sanctifies us through, number two, through trials. How many of you like trials? Nobody, right? Okay. So, in one of the youth nights, our young people watched the story of John Bunyan. Correct me if I'm wrong. You did? Okay. Okay. So, he was imprisoned in the Bedford jail for preaching without a license from the Church of England, but he continued to preach. He didn't know he would be imprisoned for 12 years. He didn't know that his wife and children would go through great poverty, while Bunyan would go through a long trial of adversity in jail. This was the setting Bunyan needed to write Pilgrim's Progress. And from what I understand, it's the world's bestseller in English outside of the King James Bible. It might, I don't know. I don't know if still, but that's what I have here. And so God allowed him to go through those difficulties and testings to influence generations of Christians to come. If you read it, you'd be blessed by it, or at least have seen the movie. In our own thinking, we would say that his needs were not met well. But God provided Bunyan exactly what he needed. Poverty and heartache. How many of you want that? Nobody, right? What he got. And so who would want that? The truth is, we need testing and trials for the good and pleasant to come. See, God knows, he knows what we need, and he won't give us more than what we can handle.
Amen.
In 1 Corinthians 10, I think it's in verse 13, he will give us a way of escape that we will be able to bear what we're going through, paraphrasing that. And so, again, why? Because God knows our hearts. He knows what we need.
Yes.
Sometimes we don't even know what we need.
Amen.
But we need to cry out to him. And sometimes in our prayer, it's like, as Pastor said, this is what Jeff really meant. This is what he said, but no, this is what he really meant. And so he's trying to conform us. And a lot of times when we get out of line, no, get back there. And so he's trying to deal with us because he knows what's best for us.
Amen.
And so God is preparing us for things in this world and the world to come.
Amen.
He wants us to be a good example and witness for Christ. So another way the Holy Spirit works for our transformation is by bringing into our lives circumstances that are designed to cause us to grow spiritually.
Yes.
So just as our physical muscles will not grow in strength without exercise, so our spiritual life will not grow apart from situations that challenge us.
Amen.
And so again, if we don't go through trials, then we cannot grow spiritually.
Amen.
It's just like if we have everything that we need and we want, we won't grow at all.
Amen.
And so when there is too much traffic or someone cuts me off on the road, do you and I say, Lord, please give me the patience right now? Or you say, I'm going to get them. I don't know what, get them. It's so sad that one time, I think I've made this illustration before, but there's this big truck that was at a light, and this biker came by. He got off his bike and started pounding on the guy's door, and then the guy in the truck got out of his truck. The biker went away, and then he didn't come, and then the light turned green, and then I looked up, and then he had a sticker on the back that says, Jesus loves you. I was like, oh, man, or something like that. I don't know, but I was like, oh, man. So, you know, we got to remember that, you know, God is giving us that endurance, those trials for our testings.
Yes.
So I remember someone who was going through a tough time, and one day they madly called his friend to ask him to stop praying for patience for him because he was having a tough time right now. So sometimes we've got to pray for endurance. I pray for patience, and the Lord sure did try me that day. And so sometimes you've got to pray for endurance, but the Lord will give you the grace to go through it.
Yes, he will.
Just have to trust him. He's trying to mold you into the image of his son.
Yes.
So 1 Peter 1:7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And so that trial of your faith is more precious than gold. Imagine that. God loves you and I so much. So if we are prone to sinful anger, there will be circumstances that trigger our anger. And the Lord is trying to, okay, well, we need to go through this again. You haven't learned it. Or whatever acceptable sin it is, we will have plenty of opportunities and occasions to deal with that sin. See, God does not tempt us to sin, it says in James 1:13-14, but he does bring or allow circumstances into our lives that give us the opportunity to put that sin, that particular sin, to death, meaning we can have victory through Christ.
Yes.
And so he uses every event of our lives, often in mysterious ways, to change us more into the likeness of Christ.
Amen.
So in Romans 8:28, it says, and all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And so God has a purpose. Jesus has a purpose for you and for me through every trial, through every testing, whether it came from him or whether it came from maybe even the devil. Jesus allowed the devil to tempt us in this way. And so he just wants us to see how much we love him. Are we going to turn to our sin, or are we going to turn to the Savior?
Yes. Yes.
And so Paul is talking about our spiritual transformation here. The good of verse 28 is explained in verse 29, that is to be conformed, to be shaped into the image, the likeness of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
See, Christ Jesus, our perfect example, learned obedience through the things that he suffered. And I don't know if you've heard of the joke, like, about you have a friendship ring, then you have the engagement ring, then you have the wedding ring, and then you have suffering. No, kidding. Okay, but anyways, not talking about that. All right. So, but they're trying to make us into the man or woman that they want us to be. But more important than that is that the Lord is trying to make us into the image of his Son. So going back to this, I know you guys got sidetracked. All right. So Hebrews 5:8 says this, though he were a son, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. So we will go through suffering.
Amen.
All those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
Yes.
When we live godly in Christ Jesus, we're doing his will, we will suffer.
Yes.
It's not a matter of if, but when. And so trials are meant to complete what is still lacking in our faith because none of us have arrived to perfection yet. And so as we go through this struggle, remember, as a child of God, as a Christian, your sins, number one, your sins are forgiven if you're a child of God. You've trusted Jesus as your Savior, Jesus Christ. You're accepted by God because of Christ's righteousness and his death on the cross. Number three, recognize your responsibility and depend on the Holy Spirit. Number four, spend time in the Word of God and in prayer. Number five, identify your specific acceptable sins and ask the Lord to help you through it. And number six, sometimes this is difficult to do, is have a fellow believer encourage and pray for you. Have an accountability partner. And so that's what we need to do. So going back to the story of the silversmith, as a lady was leaving the shop, the silversmith called her back and he said that the way he knew when the process of purifying was complete is by seeing his own image reflected in the silver, just like a mirror. And so in the same way, when Christ's image is reflected in us, his work of purifying is accomplished for that specific task. And now he's going to move on to another task that he needs to work on. Amen. So, believer in Christ, we got to remember that God, that Jesus Christ is still working in and through you.
Yes, he is.
Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so the Holy Spirit will not abandon the work he has begun in us. Will you and I accept our responsibility and depend on the Holy Spirit's power? Number two, if you have not yet trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you cannot overcome your burden of sin apart from Christ's enabling power. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul talked to the jailer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. 1 John 5:5 says this, who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?
Amen.
So let's go ahead and let's pray. And let's have Sister Diane would come, please. Let's go ahead and let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your love and care for us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that resides in us. And Father, we just pray and ask you'd help us to be dependent on him, and that by doing that, we will uplift the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, may you get the honor and glory that you deserve. Bless this time of invitation, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
If you all please stand, and just if everyone would bow their heads and close their eyes, and we just have a time of invitation as Sister Diane plays. Maybe the Lord has spoken to your heart about the message. He spoke to me that there are some things I need to change. Gotta depend on the Holy Spirit and his work, and know what is our duty. hope you're challenged by the message. Again, if there's someone here that has not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, you can see one of us. If you're a man, see maybe me or one of the men in the church. If you're a lady, see one of the ladies. As Pastor says, Brother Larry, everyone else, the invitation is never closed. Or if you need someone to pray with you, you can come to one of us as well. All right. So let's go ahead and have our circle prayer.
All right.